Hey, my name's Ryan John, and welcome to this episode of From the Internet. And this episode is perfect for the title of this podcast because I'm chatting with Zach Mander, who is one of the Collective Noun gents. Now, even if you haven't heard the name Collective Noun, which is a bit of a sketch group, you probably would have seen one of their videos. And as you hear us talk, you might be like, oh, yeah, I've seen that. That sounds familiar. These guys are killing it online, and they're also doing weekends at Hit 105 in Brisbane as well. So they're up and about, these guys, and they've got a big future, I reckon. Jeez, look at me. Got a big future, these kids. Sound like some old hack who actually knows what he's talking about. But look, I love their videos. I love their stuff, and they've been doing it for a long time. Now, Zach, who I'm talking to today, he talks about how they make their videos, how they decide what's funny, what happens when they disagree about what's funny and what's not. And he also explains how they all met each other as well, and also a bit about his background, because Zach's been doing making content and radio for years and years. So it's a really great chat. Well, I think it's a great chat. I sometimes think, having listened back, that it's just two kind of comedy content nerds just shooting the breeze, but hopefully some other people find it enjoyable as well. Now, I started by asking Zach how he would introduce himself when people are asking, you know, so, Zach, what do you do for a crust?
Good question.
And don't say what you said the other day when I said, oh, do you have time? And you said, mate, I got plenty of time.
I try to avoid it, in short, just because it's a bit hard to explain. But I'll either say that I'm a radio announcer, or I'll say I'm a writer, because those are the two things I'm currently getting paid for.
Yeah, cool. And is that, I guess, as a rule, like, on one of our other episodes, we talked about being a comedian, and that just because you do a few stand-up spots unpaid doesn't make you a comedian. Is that the kind of way you see it as well? In terms of, if that's what you get paid for, then that's what you do?
I just think that's the easiest way of explaining it. Like, Jerry Seinfeld says for comedians, he reckons you do it, you are a comedian. So you get up and you do comedy regardless of if you get paid, you're a comedian. And so I had a big moment at uni because I just pretended... I went to uni, I did creative writing and script writing.
Yep.
And I just told people I was doing that until I figured out what I wanted to do. And I just kept dismissing it. And then, like, one time the lecturer was like, just say that you're a writer to everyone. She's like, you do that, so just call yourself a writer. You're a writer now.
Was that along the lines of fake it till you make it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not really sure. But it was quite liberating, and I was like, oh, you can call yourself a writer now. Just, like, you don't actually have to get it published anywhere or get it made, in her opinion.
Asterisk.
Yeah, so some people say you have to get paid to do it before you call yourself something, and some people say you can just call yourself it. But I guess my number one pursuit at the moment is doing videos, and I rarely say that I do that.
Yeah, okay,
right. Because it's too hard to explain.
Yeah. Now, well, the first time I saw you was, well, I was going to say a Cheetos advertisement that I think I saw on the internet, but was that not an advertisement?
No, it wasn't an advertisement. I made a Cheeto cannon. I was...
you say it so nonchalantly because you would have said it so many times, but the word Cheeto cannon, that's not regular vocabulary in our language.
Okay, well, I'll tell you how it came up, right? So we had like a whole... I was working at this radio station that had a whole lot of Cheetos that had gone off like the day before.
Yeah, right.
And I leave that out of the story usually because it kind of makes it a bit less cool. And so there was just like buckets and buckets and buckets of them. And I was thinking about how light they were. And I was like, I reckon you could like... they would be pretty good projectiles. Like, you wouldn't need that much wind to blow them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got this idea that we would pump them into it looks like a leaf blower, but it was actually a blower that blows up jumping castles.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So we put this big tube on the front of them and shot them out of it towards my face. And and so we made a video out of that. And it was kind of late in the afternoon and we didn't have time to test it before sun went down. So I just went straight in front of it without any goggles or anything.
Yeah.
And they really, like, I was left with welts on my face.
Yeah, go hard or go home.
They really came out quickly. And so we put that on the internet, and that was the first time I kind of had a video that, got a little bit of attention.
Yeah, cool. And so that wasn't an ad, just to confirm that wasn't for them. They didn't use it, or did they try to steal it? Or
oh, right. Okay. Well, I don't know which one you're talking about, because a year... Okay, so I'll tell you the story about the Cheetah Cannon.
Yeah.
So we put the Cheetah Cannon up, and then about a week later, it was it kind of it had a little bit of a little bit of a splurt of attention. So BuzzFeed in America, before BuzzFeed came to Australia, ran a story on it, and Huffington Post and a few American websites ran a story about it. So it got, you know, I think 40,000 hits in a couple of days on YouTube. And it was just really foreign. Like, no one from Australia really saw it.
Yeah, okay,
And we didn't know anything about videos or the internet then. And we were just like, yeah, cool, okay. Like, we weren't even on Twitter or anything. So I kind of think back to that and think, like, oh, we're a bit more savvy. I wonder what we could have done with that. But
you can't look back and think that sort of thing.
About a year later, I get a text from someone who I worked with who was like, hey, Shapes just ripped off your ad, or ripped off your video in an ad.
Oh, and maybe that's like, what I'm...
Yeah, okay. You might have seen that one. So I was like, oh, okay, that's a little bit weird. So I went to work the next day and I found the ad, and I'm pretty sure they ripped it off. It's like shot for shot. They've done it like fictionally. So they had a massive leaf blower in the middle of a forest, and then they put Shapes into it, and some dude stood in front of it and caught him in his mouth. And it was like so similar. Like, the progression of shots were the same. The framing of the shots were the same. The concept was the same. And I was like, oh, there's no way that that was accidental. So what I did was I was kind of thinking, like, this could be a fun story.
Well, I think that, if someone's getting attention, that's also a good way for you to go, well, hang on a sec, guys. Like, it's time for you to just... You got to speak up.
So I thought I'd do it in a fun way. So what I did with the help of the guy I make videos with was we made a video where I said it was cool if they took the idea, but they had to adhere to a list of demands, and they were, you know, sort of lighthearted, humorous demands.
Yeah.
And so that was good. That was kind of the opposite to Cheetah Cannon, because Cheetah Cannon got like a lot of, a certain amount of hits online. This one didn't really get that many hits, but it got a lot of attention in the news. So the project did a thing on it. Like Fitzy and Whipper in Sydney did something on it. I was on a couple of radio shows up here in Brisbane doing stuff about it. And then so Arnott got in contact, and they gave us 1,200 boxes of Shapes I don't know, because they always denied it. They said they didn't steal it, but it wasn't them. It was the ad agency, so they had to say that. And
what do you do with all those shapes, though?
So then we made a shape slingshot, which we had like all this bungee cord, and we made this slingshot. And the sort of story was we ran around and slingshotting them at people to thank them for helping us.
Okay.
in our campaign, kind of thing. So we made this sort of funny thing where we went to the park and shot slingshot shot. Shapes out of a slingshot at people.
Would that hurt, or is that like, were they like, was you like passing them shapes, or is it more like you're firing them at someone?
They were in boxes, so it was more like, hey, you have a box of shapes.
Because I'm imagining you just go, oh, you bang, and it just like it hits them, and they're Jesus Christ.
So that was fun as well, and it's interesting that you saw that, because that was the idea.
Yeah, right.
I was like, well, I don't think I can sue them. Like, you can't sue someone for taking an idea. Like, they can do whatever they want. But I thought, like, if we can have a little bit of fun with it. And also, I didn't want to do that. I was like, yeah, who cares?
But then it runs a risky, like if in the future you did an idea that was similar to someone else, they'd be like, well, you sued those other guys. So now, like, it sets a pretty steep precedent.
Dude, I was so scared afterwards. Yeah. Even after doing the funny sort of version, I was like, someone's going to pull me up sometime. And I'm pretty paranoid about stealing ideas at the best of times.
Yeah, right.
So I have been worried about that.
When you make, like, most of the videos and stuff, are you editing them? You said you went to uni. Did you get taught technical skills, or how does that work? Because the production that you guys do with that I see, like, as well as being funny and good ideas, they're very well shot.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I did go to uni. I did film and television, all bar one subject, separate story.
Yep.
And that wasn't super technical, but there is some technical parts of it. So the way we work with Collective now is there's four of us. So there's myself, Sam and Dom, and Michael. Michael's probably the one that you don't see all that often. And he is, like, I describe him as a child prodigy, even though he's 20. But he's amazing. And so our production values are predominantly because of him. So the way we do it is like, so I'll do an edit. So I do like a rough edit kind of thing, or I'll do an edit for like pacing.
Yep.
And then I'll pass it on to him. He does sound, color grading, fixes up the edits. He's like, can do some cool special effects. So if we need that, he does that. But then he also shoots it all, and he's got a really good eye for all of that. And he's really good technically speaking as well.
So Michael, you said there's four of you. So it's Michael, yourself, Sam and Dom. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, because I see that there's a Facebook group called Sam, Zach and Dom, and that's the radio show. And then there's one Collective Noun. Are they the same thing, or are they not? Or is it a bit awkward, or what's to do with that?
Yeah, so they're not the same. They are the same thing now. So that Sam, Zach and Dom doesn't exist.
Okay, right, cool.
Yeah, so they've been absorbed into Collective Noun. Yeah, that kind of story. So Cheeto Cannon stuff, I was with Michael. So I was working at this community station in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Michael was like a kind of a work experience kid at the start, and we were sort of started making videos together because I found out he did videos, and you always latch onto those people in the radio world.
Yes. Yes.
And we sort of connected. We thought the same things were funny. So we were making videos, and then Sam and Dom were a radio duo who were doing kind of weekends and stuff like that. And so we met there, and then they went around to do late nights at B105 for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So they were doing late nights at B105. I was working at this station doing nights, and we wanted to make videos together, but it was a little bit touchy because of separate radio stations.
Yeah, okay,
and so we made like a new entity, which was Collective Noun, so we could make videos together, and it kind of just grew from there. So then I left my job to kind of produce their radio show.
Yeah.
And
then you're like, hang on, gents, I want in.
yeah, kind of. No, it was more like, so I was producing it, but I wasn't really producing it. It was more I was writing and writing sketches and participating that way. And sort of I had an equal pegging on a creative voice kind of thing. Like we were more a trio than a duo. And that kind of just after a while, it became more natural to do that. It was like, oh, well, really, if we're actually representing the group, it would be a three, not a two.
Yeah,
and at the same time, we were doing videos as a three, and we were really trying to make sure that they were all the same thing.
Yeah.
And and so now we've even gone as far now as the radio show is called Collective Noun Radio.
Okay,
so,
cool.
So they're all exactly the same thing now. Yeah. And the radio show is a reflection. The idea behind that was, if we took what we did online to the radio, what would that look like? So it's very sketch heavy, like 80% sketches kind of thing.
Yeah, cool.
And stuff like that, yeah.
Do you guys see yourselves, I don't know if you've sort of had these conversations, but do you see yourselves as like online video guys who love doing radio, or do you feel like you're radio guys who are making some videos, or is it's 2015, everyone does everything, so here we are?
Really, really good question. And this is like, it's taken a long time to resolve, and I don't think we know.
Yep.
And so...
Well, we did this chat on the 22nd of September, so whenever you're listening, maybe there's a different answer later down the track.
Yeah, maybe.
But at this stage?
I kind of think of it, right, and this is where I think radio is going to survive in the future, right, is like... you're people who like content and like telling stories, and you do that in whatever medium arises, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like that you can tell stories and you can tell jokes on whatever medium.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe that's offensive. Is that offensive? just for people to be like, oh, you can't come in and do that in our medium. But
no, I don't think it is. Like you said, the joke or the punchline or the angle, I reckon, can be used anyway, but sometimes in the delivery or execution, you might have to do it differently.
Oh, 100%. And I think we are better at video sketches than radio sketches at the moment. Like, I was thinking about that today. I was like, oh, so what elements of radio, and, you know, like in... So, for example, right, so, like, they're just totally different. For radio, you can be on the moon, And
that's my favorite thing about people always ask me about skits and stuff. And I just say that you can be like, so we were in the middle of the ocean, right? And you just put some water sound effects and people go, yep. Oh, whereas when you're trying to film that, it's fucking difficult to make it look good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So they're really different like that. So I was trying to think of like the differences, and it's actually way, way harder to make radio sketches funny, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I
don't really know why.
Well, I think you've got more things to work with. Like, I made a short film. It was the first thing I ever did was a short film. It was in the Melbourne Comedy Festival in 2011. Jeez, that feels like a long time ago now. And I wrote it, and I had previously done radio stuff, and all of the jokes were like written speech jokes, if you will.
Yeah.
But then speaking to someone else, they said, oh, we can have like editing joke. Like it cuts away at the right time, or the face, or it cuts back to the previous scene. And like, you've got all this stuff that doesn't include voices. And I, being a radio nerd, just didn't even, I just went, oh, yeah.
Well, you can get a lot of humor out of like reactions on video. So like how someone reacts to something can be a joke kind of thing.
Yeah.
I was watching Andy Samberg's Emmy's opening video today. Have you seen that?
I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well,
the Emmys were yesterday for whenever this podcast gets published, so I'll go and check that out.
There's just this joke in it, right, where he goes through all these cameos. The premise of the song is that he's watched every TV series that has been on TV this year. So he's the most eligible to be, Andy Samberg's the most eligible to be the host, right? And he's going through all the people who are in these shows, telling him that he saw all the shows, and then he gets to someone he hasn't seen. And he kind of has to go back in his bunker to watch the show. But he walks backwards through, they go backwards through that montage, and he just goes back through all the scenes.
Yeah, cool.
And it's just a funny visual of him walking back through these scenes. But it's a good example I was thinking of today of like, that's not really a joke. They've just...
Yeah, put that on radio.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, how do you add more jokes into something that has nothing to do with the narrative or nothing to do with the premise, but it's like, we're going to add this funny visual.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to think of like, what is the radio equivalent of that? And I think it might be a fart sound effect. I think you can put a fart sound effect anywhere.
Well, me and since I've been at Hot FM WA, I've had two imaging producers, but we've both got like both guys, Brody and Tim. We had the same rule if we didn't know how to end a sketch, and it was just like, just blow it up, just add an explosion. And just be like, oh, how do we finish this scene? Well, just blow it up.
Blowing up's good. I also sometimes put canned laughter and then a voiceover saying whatever the sketch was filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
That was when I was feeling so. And then, so I was working for 2 years. I did nights at this radio station before Hit 105.
Yep.
And then I produced their breakfast show for a year after that. And again, it wasn't really producing. It was this weird sort of montage of jobs.
Okay. All community stations and first jobs pretty much are that.
Yeah. Right. So a part of that was writing and editing sketches. And what I'd always do is put a cat meowing at the end of nearly every sketch.
Just put the cat in, guys, will be fine.
Yeah. Just like, I think that's my idea for radio sketches at the moment, like more sound effects.
Yeah. Well, I think I got into, and I don't do as many sketches as I used to. But when I got into radio, I loved doing sketches and stupid stuff like that. And I was like a hardcore comedy nerd. And I used to watch like Full Frontal and Fast Forward and all those. Like, I just love skit shows. And that's why I kind of started in the biz, because I just thought they were so fun. And I was like, oh, I want to make those. They look like a good time. But I don't know if this is a tricky one for you guys. I feel like radio is sort of changing and it's not really the thing anymore. And for me, I'm like, no. But that's what I like. it goes killer for the videos, because that's what people want to see, you know, short, sharp idea, bang, and it's funny. But do you guys, like, is that something you're conscious of when you go, well, radio, you know, they want personal stories and they want, you know, engagement and stuff like that. And does that make it tricky for you guys?
Yeah, so interestingly, right, so earlier this year, so we were doing the Sam and Dom show, it wasn't Collective Now Then,
yep.
And people would say too many sketches,
yeah.
Right, and which is true. And then Adrian Bryan became...
Yep, AB, ABD, yeah.
Yeah, up in Brisbane, and he was like, it was kind of... It was really his idea. He's like, oh, well, why don't you make the brands the same? And like, you know, you're just this one brand and bring what you do online to radio.
Yep.
And then so it kind of became more like a sketch show. But then it was funny that, like, we were kind of like, a big change is quite sort of scary. And we were like, this is kind of a bit scary. We don't know what to do. But I was kind of reminding everyone, I was like, well, this is actually what we wanted to do earlier, and we were told we weren't allowed to.
Yeah, and now that you're allowed to do it, you're like, oh, man.
All he's done is given us permission to do what we wanted to do. And, like, once we sort of realized that, we're like, oh, yeah, that was what we wanted to do at the start of the year, and we were told that it was too many sketches. So since it's become Collective Noun Radio, it's been way easier because it's like no one says too many sketches because they're like, oh, well, it's a sketch show.
It's a sketch show, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, and, that makes sense. So, yeah, it makes sense and sounds great.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. So radio is changing dramatically, and my personal opinion is, like, you can only do what you're good at. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So you can't worry too much about where it's going or how you're going to set yourself up for the future, because, like, you know, I could tell really good personal stories, or not that I could, but let's say hypothetically,
yeah.
I could tell really good personal stories, or I have really good relational phoners, and then, you know, get a good job on a breakfast show in a few years or whatever, but then be like, oh, but is that what I actually wanted to do? I think I was just doing that because people were telling me
that's what you had to do to do radio.
So yeah. It's like, maybe we'll just, and, you know, there's an extent that you do compromise towards what the sort of medium is. But it's like, maybe if we're allowed to, you know, with the, if it's cool with everyone we're working with, like, do what we do well and hope that you find a spot in the landscape.
Yeah, there's this book called Steal Like an Artist.
Yeah.
Austin Cohen, I think his name is.
Keo or something, is it?
Yeah, you know what? Probably. and he says that a lot of people try to spend a lot of time sitting down with a piece of paper going, who do I want to be? How am I going to do that? And blah, blah, blah. And trying to figure out what their brand and mold themselves towards this thing is. But then he goes, nah, if you just do what you like and do what you're good at, then the brand will follow you rather than the other way around. And I think that's what you're trying to say. Is that right?
Like, well, I don't have a success story to tell you that that's how it works.
But in 10 years, if it works out well, you'll claim it.
Definitely. Let me ask you a question about that book, because I've heard a few interviews with that guy, but I haven't read the book.
Okay.
But my impression of what the saying "steal like an artist" is, is the idea that an artist, someone will invent, like, a way of a brush stroke or a way of painting.
Yeah.
And then people will go, well, I was inspired by that person and I used their brush stroke, right?
Yeah, it's steal it line for line and say, okay, this is what I did. But what's a good example? It's sort of like, you will be a product of what you consume.
Yeah.
So if you sit around all day watching 1 minute videos, it's only inevitable that you're going to get ideas for other 1 minute videos.
Excellent. That's good. I like that. But I guess,
because you see the title, you see the title and you go, oh, geez, that looks a bit, I don't know about that.
Well, I've heard people copy ideas and say, yeah, steal like an artist. And that's what it means.
It's not what it means, although I have joked many times. Like, oh, we'll just get the audio from their show. Steal like an artist, folks. That's what we got to for that book.
Because I haven't seen, you know, I didn't see someone come along after Da Vinci and, you know, paint another Mona Lisa and everyone be cool with that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Cool, right?
Yeah, this is all good.
No, not quite. It is an interesting read. And I like it because of the content, but also because of, I'm not a good reader. So it's like, there's only a few words on each page and there's lots of little drawings and it's very simple. Like, you could read it in 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
good. I'll have to check it out then. Well, the other thing that you've mentioned there, which is an interesting idea, is, like, that you're an amalgamation of your inspiration.
Yeah.
Is that they say that a lot about stand-up. I was really interested in stand-up when I was a bit younger.
Yeah.
And they'd say, like, well, for the first, I don't know, few years, some people might say longer than that, when you first get on stage, you're really just mimicking the people you like.
Yeah.
And it takes a while for you to find a voice. And I've wondered that with videos, like, you know, have we found a voice yet? We've been making videos together for a year. You know, if you look back a year ago, they were different in tone and length and style. Have we found a voice yet? Are we getting pushed there because people want us to go there? Are we getting pushed there because that's what the internet wants, or that's what we want? Like, so yeah, it's interesting to think about, like, finding your voice, I think.
Yeah. Would it be weirder because there's four of you, you know, what you've grown up watching, you know, you like stand up, the other guys like this. And then by the time the mashup of your stuff gets mashed up with the other guy's mashup of stuff, like, it'd be pretty, well, maybe not unique, but it's certainly hard to copy one person if you've got so much input.
Well, yeah, it's also hard to come to an agreement of what's funny.
How? Well, what happens in that situation? Because, I don't know you guys. Like, it's not. I'm assuming it's not like one guy writes all the jokes and the other guys are actors. I assume you guys all contribute ideas and stuff. What happens when you have those? No, I think this is funny, or no, I think that's funny. What happens then?
We argue. Well, kind of. It doesn't happen very often. It happened today, where it really got to a point where two people were like, no, I really think this is funny. The other one's like, I really think this is funny. And you seriously, like, I'm a big believer in keep going until you find it.
Yeah.
And looked for like maybe 5 minutes. We were like, oh, we're not going to find a solution. And then we found a joke that was better than both of our ideas.
Yeah, right.
And we were both like, yeah, that's much better. So I think it's just about talking about it, and I'm a big believer in talking about why you have come to a conclusion. It's like debating. So yeah. I think this joke is better for these reasons.
Yeah, cool. And do you guys obviously, like, you must have a lot of trust in each other, or just a very strong common goal that, or does it, you know, for it to not get personal and for you to go in each day and have ideas and people to disagree, like, that isn't easy, and it's a lot of people, like, you know, just can't do that. So you guys obviously do.
Yeah, so one of the awesome things I was told at uni as well was in script writing. So we were getting our scripts reviewed by the lecturer, and she sits down and she goes, so do you want me to tell you how good you are, or do you want me to tell you the truth?
Yeah.
And
what do you mean, miss? Are they not the same thing?
Yeah. I was like, well, this was the best script you've ever read, wasn't it? And and so, like I think we're pretty good at not taking things personally.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to make things better. And, dude, like our scripts aren't. Like, they can be made infinitely better. And I'm in no means thinking that they're at a stage where they're perfect. But yeah, so, like, we're happy to discuss it. So, kind of, we brainstorm. Usually we brainstorm like ideas, so everyone brings ideas, and then we pick the ideas we want. We'll often kind of have spitball of jokes that you could do. Someone writes down jokes or just ideas of different things you can do, and then one person will go write it.
Yep.
And then they'll send it to everyone, and then there's kind of hopefully, depending on how far until we film, like a second draft, and then and then we go film it.
Yeah, cool. And so what's the, how long between you going, oh, I've got a good idea for a sketch, and then actually, like, then I'm watching it on my computer?
Yeah, so it varies between how big the idea is and how many we have in the bank. So we currently have zero in the bank.
Yeah.
So that turnaround's pretty quick. Like, a few weeks ago, we were kind of a couple of weeks ahead.
Yeah.
And so that might be a bit longer. But so, for example, we did this one about dieting a few weeks ago that was one of our more successful videos. And that was a bit different. So I got the idea for that on like a Monday afternoon and wrote it, and we filmed it Tuesday. And I think it was online Wednesday. So it can be that quick, or there's ones that we wrote and they've been sitting there for 3 months, and then we film it and they sit there for a couple of months, and then we edit it, and then a few weeks later it's up. So yeah.
Yeah, cool. That was very funny, the dieting one. I actually was at a friend's place having a few drinks, and someone pulled the phone out, said, oh, guys, you got to check out this. And I was like, oh, these pricks.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. And,
what, in WA?
Yep. Oh, pulled out the phone at the party to show, because someone said something about something being gluten-free. Is that the one where you're eating where the guy's eating the bowl of sugar? Yeah, so someone said something about, like, oh, is it gluten? And someone's like, let me show you this video.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm glad they got it. Because I was a little bit worried. I pitched it at a few people, and they're like, oh, I don't know if I really understand. I was like, no, I think people will get it.
Yeah, no.
And, I'm glad you did. That's really cool. I'm stoked that I got to WA. I think maybe because it might have got shared on Hit 92.9's page, so maybe that's how they got there. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Well, just on that, I think one is, I don't know if it's that one or maybe another one, but did one of yours get shared by either BuzzFeed, the main account, or BuzzFeed Video? Because I remember on your personal one,
yeah,
you were like, holy shit, this is cool.
So that was probably one of the coolest things that's happened to us. So, the BuzzFeed video. So we sent it to them, and they said, yeah, cool, we'll play this. And, it got 1 million views, so that was really cool.
Unbelievable, 1 million views. And is that, like, you said it was pretty cool. Is that like the ultimate? Like, did you see that pop up and it just went, holy shit? Or like, what happens when the second when that pops up in your feed or you get the email back saying, yeah, we're going to run it? And is that like for you guys, like, it's pretty much as cool as it gets?
Yeah, great question. I kind of think it's like all relative. So it's like, we, like, especially on the internet, like, it's like, I'm really happy because we're getting a lot more views than we were getting a year ago. But yeah, the amount of views we get, like, pale in comparison to, like, proper, quote-unquote, like, you know, proper YouTubers or big internet people. Like, ours are, like, infinitely insignificant compared to that. So, like, I think it's, like, it's really relative. So what I'm trying to say is, like, so last year, what was one thing I was really stoked on? I don't know. You know, you might get stoked you're in the local paper.
Yeah.
And then it kind of gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So that BuzzFeed one, I was probably a little bit more scared than anything for that one because I was like, oh, I don't know how it'll go in America.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's a really cool one? BuzzFeed is pretty cool because they're like the be all and end all of the internet.
Yeah. Well, so how much of your time, and don't say anything if you don't want to, but how much of your time do you spend sending emails to BuzzFeed going, oh, check this video, oh, hey, website, check this, check that, and do you have like a plan or you just make it and then ship it out? Or
so another thing I learned, right, was that content is king, distribution is King Kong.
Okay.
Right. So no good if you can make something and no one sees it.
Yeah.
And so there's a few ways of doing that. So like organic, so like something's just so good that it has to be shared, and that's the number one goal.
Yep.
But the other way of doing it, and kind of taking a bit of a shortcut, is find someone who's got a big presence and let them share it. And so so when we did Cheetah Cannon, right, so that kind of like, so I woke up to a text message from my boss on Saturday morning. That was probably one of the funnest days, actually.
Yeah.
You say, I woke up from a message from my boss saying, like, you know, holy crap, your video's on BuzzFeed. And like at that stage, I didn't understand anything about the internet. So I thought that's how things went viral. You just put them up and then someone finds it somewhere.
And then there they go. Yeah.
Yeah. And there they go. And also, and like, it was, that was a really fun day because it was like so unexpected. What I learned after that was that things don't get momentum like that. Like everything is sent to someone. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So like at the start, I kind of felt bad. I was like, oh, well, this feels like it's cheating a little bit. But it's like, no, that's how everything gets done. And so we have a pretty, so that's like Dom's job in the group. And he has like as many contacts as he can find. And he pitches it like a story. So like news.com, we have a pretty good relationship with, and Courier Mail, which is the same company, but in
Brazil.
So that's News Limited.
Yep.
And then so with SCA, we have a pretty good, well, a good relationship with them as well. And so, so we spend a lot of time thinking about that sort of stuff. But because there's four of us, it's like you can divvy up those jobs pretty well.
Yeah, cool. All right, I've got three more questions. One, making a sketch takes a lot of time. Like video, actually, let's just go for radio, for example. Even writing it, voicing it, editing it, thinking about it, re-editing, blah, blah, blah. Something happened to me down the street today, and I'm going to retell that story tomorrow. I lived the situation, and I'll probably put 5 minutes thought into it about how I'm going to structure the story, and then I'm going to tell it. So it's literally going to take me 5 minutes. Sketches can take hours. You guys make a show once a week. How do you think you'd go if you had a daily show? In terms of the, because my first thing when I started in radio, I was terrified that I would run out of ideas. And I'm still, it's probably in the back of my mind always going, oh shit, I've got a 3-hour show tomorrow. Like I'm always thinking, how am I going to fill a show? I've got a whole booklet of ideas now. So if it's a slow news day, I just go to my book and go, oh, here's some old stories. But have you ever thought about, Because I've actually said once, I'd love to do a show once a week and just have it really shiny and polished. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, really good question again. I feel like I'm just like, yeah, good question, man, good question. first thing is, so Sunday night, we try to keep it as if it's like a daily show. So we try not to put, like, prep it over prep it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So one of my philosophies is, like, because, like, in case you were given that, you don't want to be like, well, it took us a week to do that other show. We can't be given a day show. So,
yeah.
Like, we try to restrict it a little bit, but we definitely do put in more effort than you would for a daily show. And also, you just burn out. Also, we're only doing 2 hours, right? It's not even 3 hours.
Okay, righto.
my bigger question about that is, could you do a sketch show every day? Like, would the audience be interested in it? And I'd say probably not.
Yeah, well, Martin Malloy, like, they would have had sketches every day, and that was a drive show. But I don't know how the show is structured, because I just listen to old clips now. But I don't think since then there's been a show that's just, like, churning out sketches. Maybe Duels on Triple J. That's about it.
I think Duels did one a day, didn't he? I've heard that somewhere that he did one. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know who's. Yeah, I've heard Martin Malloy did it.
Yeah.
I wasn't around for them, so I don't know. Get This did a lot of them, didn't they? I've been listening to a lot of that lately.
Yeah. It's a lot of chat. There's a lot of sketches, but okay. There's a lot of chat.
I've only heard sort of edited bits, so I'd have idea, to be honest.
Yeah. I never thought about that, because I always think about the time, but then that's a good point. Like, I guess if you're hearing 3 hours of straight sketches, like, that would be.
Yeah, well, it's just a bit repetitive to go, if you're doing a minute setup to a minute sketch and then come back minute setup, minute sketch. So we're trying to think of new ways to incorporate sketch elements in more creative, or not necessarily creative, but just in different ways. So could we do it every day? I think it would be super draining. Like, even when, like, I've heard Tony Martin say that he was working, like, 70 or 80 hour weeks or something ridiculous doing those sketches.
Yeah, we'd stay up really late at night writing them, get in tomorrow, make them, present the drive show, and then go home and stay up all night writing the next day's sketches.
The worst thing about radio is then it's gone. You know, like, there's a nice idea of, like, on YouTube, like, there's a page and it's in a grid format, and I can see all the videos we've done, and I'm like, yeah, look at them. They're all there. It feels like they exist somewhere.
Yeah.
Radio is just gone.
Yeah, it's tough. It's the hardest part of the job. And the most, like, dissatisfying is when you do, like, oh, that was a cracking story, Ryan. Well done. Pat on the back. Take yourself out for a beer. And you're like, it's 6:10, champ. You've got about 10 more of those to go, and then you got to start again.
Do you feel like that if you do it at 6:10? Do you feel like, oh, man, I'm peaked too early? I should be trying to peak at 8 o'clock.
No, not really. For my show here, the 6 o'clock hour, I always just imagine a bunch of tradies and guys in high vis going to work. So it's actually my chance to tell a few more blokey stories that the mums might not care about driving to school at 8 o'clock. And I can swear, I can be a bit more me and talk a bit more footy. So I don't mind the early hour. But also, if I put time into a sketch, that's going to get played more than once.
That's the other way you can do it.
Yeah, I spent 2 hours on this sucker yesterday. It's getting a few runs.
And I don't think, it's silly not to do that, I think, because it's, no one's listening for 3 hours.
No. And we, like, kind of set it up again and stuff. And especially if it's the news of the day, because I used to, and we're actually talking about this a lot sort of in my show at the moment, when sometimes there's a tricky story that you don't want to cover because it's a bit, I don't know, that 60 Minutes last night, we're talking about this really uncomfortable, whatever it was. And we kind of would, oh, we'll talk about it 6:20 and then we've covered it, tick the box. And it's like, well, no, if it's the biggest story of the day and someone listens from 6:30 till 9 and don't hear about it, then you haven't done your job properly. Sometimes we'll get the same topic and not necessarily do the same story again, but different versions of the same news story. So we'll do top three things from the Emmys, and then we'll do a phoner on the Emmys an hour later, and then at the end of the show we'll do an Emmys wrap-up or something. And
have you ever watched Sunrise for 3 hours?
Well, it is on in the corner of our studio for brekkie, the kings.
Yes, it's the same 20 minutes.
Over
and over. Exactly the same 20 minutes over and over again. And that's not a bad thing. They just know that that's what their audience is doing. They're having breakfast and they're watching for 15 minutes and then they're gone.
They used to be the show live from, what was it? Hits from LA or something on Sunday afternoons.
Mm.
And I reckon the whole show told you what was coming up next. And they never actually did a single piece of content for the whole time. Or they play a snippet of an interview and be like, oh, more of the interview later. And it turns out they did one interview and did a couple of music hooks for a 4-hour show.
But dude, that's what, maybe not breakfast radio, but that's what radio is. Like, that's the art of it.
The drift.
Is that the hook is what it is. Like, so your content doesn't have to be that good if it's got a good hook. It's like you're just keeping people in. That's not a negative thing. That's the art of it.
I love to walk up and down the hallways of the office and just go, g'day guys, coming up in 10, I'll let you know what's coming up in 20. all right, two more questions. What's your 18-year-old self or your younger self? Obviously, it's hard to plan a career in digital media because who knows what digital media will be at any time. And I'm guessing when you were younger, you know, we at our age in primary school couldn't have been like, well, when I'm older, I'm going to make videos online because it wasn't a thing. So what advice would you give yourself? Or would you still go to uni if you had your time again? Or do you ever think about that?
Yeah, I do think about that. So when I was in high school, right, so I think back on that and my default answer is like, oh, I wasn't very creative or I wasn't really that sort of person. But then when I think about it, like I brought a video camera to school and I'd make videos at school.
Yeah, right.
We had a radio, in inverted commas, a radio show. We used to set up speakers, like big speakers outside the hall, and we'd sit in the tech desk and me and my friend would do a radio show on Friday afternoons and like beam it out to the school.
Oh, that's so much fun. And it seems like you even if you didn't realize at the time, it like, I don't know, you got started early and it kind of makes sense from what I see.
Well, yeah, so I was doing that, but I never identified it as being creative or doing that sort of stuff. I was just like, oh, that's what we do.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And then so after school, I didn't really do anything with that for like a year. Actually, to be honest, I worked in this this admin job, and I think you can say the same thing. Like, I was like, I think back on that and go, I didn't really do anything creative that year, but
yeah.
Like I was making this, like they had this newsletter that went out to all their clients, and I drew a cartoon for them.
Yeah.
So like I'd do this like HR cartoon, and yeah, so it was just like all these HR jokes in it and stuff like that.
Oh, and quality gear.
Yeah, I found it on the internet the other day, and I was like, you know, maybe you had a 30% strike rate. I'd stick by, one in three of them, I think. And so it's really hard to, like, I kind of think, like, I probably would have started doing YouTube videos earlier.
Yeah.
But besides that, dude, I was like that year I kind of had off, I met my my now wife, and I lived out of home for a year at, like, 18, and, like, I've got some really good stories out of that, and...
Yeah, it's never, when you're in radio, if something horrible happens or it doesn't work and you can go, oh, there's a couple of stories in there, I think it's not a waste.
Definitely. And then even at uni, dude, like people say uni's a waste. I don't know because I don't think I didn't get a qualification from uni, but I mean, it taught me so much about, firstly, about script writing, but secondly, like about, you know, your identity and having confidence in yourself.
Did you finish your degree?
I'll
take that as a no.
Short answer is no. I did everything, and then I haven't handed in the papers on my last subject.
Okay. Well, that actually, I was going to say the one thing that people get out of uni, and you're probably evidence that it's not true, but I'll say it anyway, and I'm really embarrassed now. But I always used to say it shows that you can start something and finish it. Like, if nothing else, because I remember this lady was hiring people, and I said, oh, I'm not really qualified. My degree's in this, and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, but you start a subject, you read the textbook, they tell you to get it done, and you get it done, and that proves that you know how to finish a task. Well, Zach...
I 100% understand that. That is not the case for me. And, I'm the least organized person ever. So,
all right, final question, and it's bloody hard to answer, but I'm going to throw it at you anyway. It seems like, yeah, guys are having a cracking time doing some radio, making these cool videos. What's the... we won't say goal, I'll say instead dream sort of outcome. How is this all going to come together and be A, fun for you guys to do, B, making good content, and C, paying the rent?
Yeah, see, paying the rent's a big one. That's the tough one. So I'm like, I've tried to do this thing, right, where I try not to put emphasis on positions, but on, I try to get like job satisfaction out of the content you're producing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So like, cause I realized a while ago, I was like, well, I'm actually doing what I want to do. It might not be where I want to do it, but I still get to do it. And so I'm pretty happy doing the videos we're doing.
Yeah.
But the goal is, yeah, to get paid for them and to get a budget to do bigger stuff. And so it used to be TV, but like the more TV people we talk to, they're like, dude, no, dude, definitely not. It's like, you do the internet. And yeah. So like, it's still probably, I think I want to do a TV show, but that might not be on TV. Like, you know, hopefully Netflix starts funding more stuff and
yeah. Because I know the budget for making video, like I think Rove McManus said in his first ever season at Channel 9, they basically just went, hey guys, we've got a budget now, so like, what do you want to do with it? And they just made all these sketches to justify how much money they can spend.
Yeah.
And they're like, can we get a rocket, an elephant? And they're like, all right.
I'm a huge believer in using your financial difficulties to your advantage. So, you know, like one of my favorite shows is Mid-Morning Matters, you know, the Alan Partridge.
Yes.
One where he does a radio show, and that's just on two webcams.
Yep.
And well, they're not actually webcams, but that's the idea. And it's 22 minutes of just two angles in a studio, and it's really, really funny. And so I'm not sure what the budget restrictions were there, whether that was an issue or that was completely stylistically, but by coincidence, maybe that show would have been super cheap to make.
Absolutely.
And, but they worked that into the narrative.
Yeah.
And so like, I almost find it like kind of more enjoyable trying to do things on a low budget. But anyway, that's going off track. Yeah, so want to do a TV show or something like that. And where does radio fit into that? I don't know, because like, I think radio, as well as TV, is just like in a massive time at the moment of a shift where people are still really interested in audio content. Just the way they consume it is like rapidly changing.
Yeah. And I don't think we're quite done yet in how radio itself is going to adjust to that. Like, I know there's Omni now and obviously podcasts and bits and pieces, but I reckon, like you said, there'll always be people wanting to listen to stuff on the way to work or on the train or whatever.
Well, dude, what I find so interesting is that people are saying radio's dying, right? And radio's dead.
Well, didn't they say that when TV came out 40 years ago?
Well, apparently. I wasn't around.
Well, me and Zach back in the day.
I have heard that that has been, you know, been saying it's going to die for a while. Yep. But here's the interesting thing, right? So then you look last year, like Serial, the podcast, was like incredibly
massive,
right?
Yeah.
But not only was that audio, it was long form audio that wasn't comedy, that wasn't lowbrow, right? That was like telling a really long story. And that's what radio was like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was before TV, like radio was more like that. And so, like, I find it so interesting that we're almost going, like, we're going forward, but we're going back. Like, I was talking to my my wife's grandparents the other day, and they were talking about, like, how they didn't have a car. Like, they lived in Brisbane 80 years ago or 70 years ago. They didn't have a car when they were first married. And I go, how do you get stuff? And they're like, well, the butcher and the veggie guy delivered stuff. And it was home delivered. And I was like, well, like, with the internet now, we kind of think that getting your food delivered is, like,
this new crazy thing. Idea?
Yeah, we're like, oh, that's, you know, the internet allows us to get food delivered. But it was delivered 60 years ago. And then it went to everyone going to a shopping store. And now it's coming back to that again. And so, like, I think there's, like, fundamental ideas that will probably stick around, which is, like, people want to hear stories. People want to be entertained.
Yeah.
Just the way it kind of happens will go, like, in ebbs and flows of changing, I think.
Well, I'm going to, well, obviously this podcast will go on iTunes, but I'm definitely going to archive this episode in particular, for the last answer. That'll be hilarious for us to listen back to in 10 years. And also, I think you guys are doing some cracking things. Because I work in the biz, I consume a lot of stuff, and so I've got to that point where I can enjoy stuff, but I don't laugh out loud, but I still laugh out loud very hard when I see some of your guys' stuff. So I'm real pumped for you guys. And I'm excited to see where it all goes. And I'd love to say that I have one of you blokes on the podcast back in the day. So, Zach, thanks so much for your time, mate, and all the best.
Dude, that is such a compliment. Thank you so much for saying that. That's very flattering. It was a pleasure.